morning. Welcome everyone on our quarterly results presentation of Audio Punk. And with us here we are with the new the whole board teacher, Kasia Sobotka, responsible for risk, Leaders Group responsible for finance, and Michał Kusa, responsible for development and the new project. Wojciech Kudera, CEO, Nils Lundorf, responsible for investor relationships, and Krzysztof Kuba, who is responsible for business. So we will be, all of us will be available for questions after the presentation of our results.
Highlight some information about the recent management changes, because it was the hot topic lately. Then operational performance, news will cover operational issues, and strategic initiatives will be covered by Michał, outlook myself, and then we'll be open for questions. The highlights of the first quarter, loan growth with the guidance. We would be really happy if the loan growth is more in consumer lending, less in mortgages. We would be happy if there is more on small business and mid-sized rather than large corporate, and we would be even happier if there is more working capital financing than investment loans. So this structural volume-wise was okay. This is exactly what we planned. Structurally, I think the next quarters will try to come back to the portfolio structure that was typical for Alior. And actually in our strategy, focus on retail lending and small business lending. The deposits, on the other hand, we expected, and this was one of the questions when after the annual results, do we expect the price war between the banks on the deposits to be on the safe side? We kept 600 million extra buffer of the deposits. It was, from this perspective, it was unnecessary. There was nothing like a price war among Polish banks. Yet it cost us something like 5 million worth of quarterly results. Client acquisition is on track. We will surely get 400,000 clients by the end of the year. But our goal and task is not just number of clients, but the depth of the relationship with them. And here is basically two messages. On the top of this 400,000 clients, we are counting to have at least 250,000 clients coming by the end of this year, coming from cooperation with the T-Mobile. So these numbers are not included here. This is the Alior. It is. On the top of that, April was the first month when the client of Alior had the choice between staying with us and enjoying the payment of their monthly utility bills for free if they are considering Alior as their first bank, or they need to pay 2 zlotys per bill, or they move to our Alior Express branches, which is basically the low-cost channel of Alior distribution. To our surprise, most of the clients, we thought that some of them would not be happy with this and they would leave. The clients stay with Alior, and we don't see any increase in the client base based on this on this repricing. So in client acquisition, you will have definitely more clients than expected, but also with more of them transferring their salaries to Alior. And our goal is to have at least 36% of clients switching, or clients transferring their salaries to us. T-Mobile launched yesterday the biggest ever T-Mobile ATL campaign with Mr. and Mrs. Lewandowski. I'm really proud to announce that since yesterday our distribution network is basically doubled because we have 840 points of sales in T-Mobile available to sell your product. We will cover that later. So it's going to be 10 dedicated branches in the largest cities, but also in every, or almost in every outlet of T-Mobile, and there will be offer of financial services provided by Alior to be in line with the KNF regulations. The name is upward. It's called the T-Mobile Usługi Bankowe serviced by Alior Bank. But from the outside world, it will be the financial service that is offered by T-Mobile, and we will be the white label producer of financial services there. NIM. I think here this is one of the issues that we had for the first quarter. It drops to 4.5. If you look at the last year performance, we started the year with 4.6, 4.6, 4.6, 4.7, and this was the quarterly result. This year we're starting from 4.5. Main reason, but we believe that we will go back to the 4.7 at the end of the year, and 4.6 even in the two forthcoming quarters. The main reason is that after the Christmas promotion, we've seen price pressure on cash loans. All the banks were fighting for this sector, and especially for the within the intermediaries channel. And since the intermediary channel, they are not prone for ATL and marketing, spending money on marketing was not really a wise thing to do. We tried to match the offers of our competitors. We did. Our gross production of cash loans exceeded our expectations. We have 957 million of new production of cash loans. However, it was at the cost of decreased margins. We believe that currently the issue is totally controlled. From last Monday, we have the central price control in the bank. Basically, not a single person in the entire network is allowed to go for individual price discussions. We've seen this price leakage too big and to expect. And to continue in the future. So this gives us hope that the three components of net interest margin, i.e. the price war on deposits, we believe it's going to be less pressure than we expected, than the price war of cash loans. I believe that the worst is behind us. And the third component is the structural change, structural shift between small and large companies and working capital versus investment loans. We don't want to grow our business being a part of large consortiums for large corporates. Rather, we would like to use our extended distribution network, which is now based on dedicated and we call it RCP Centrum or Sugi Centrum in main Polish cities to cover the small and large, small and mid-sized companies. These are the numbers. The two things to draw our attention is not to to look at the net profit, which basically grew 20% or 18% versus the fourth quarter and 50% versus the first quarter last year, but net interest income that was slightly below our expectations because of the net interest margin pressure and NPL and coverage ratio that Nios and Kasia will cover this issue later. All other aspects of our financial statements are according to our expectations. One positive surprise is the line. As you know, last year we announced that we are launching the program to reduce our cost by 50 million. It was been 25 million 2014, 2015. We've done with reorganization, with cost cutting, vast majority of it, and I think the program is on the way, and we will not wait till 2015 to cut costs. And what we expect is to go below the 50% cost income ratio in 2015, and I think that we achieved the target much earlier. It can be third quarter of this year, fourth quarter of this year for sure. We will see the cost under control. Then one issue that basically was subject of the discussions lately with the recent management changes, and I would like to stress here that the current board structure, and not only the board structure, the current top management, 28 people that are running the bank, of this 25 of these 27 unit heads are with us for more than 5 years. So in other words, practically it means from the beginning. All the board members, we were working together from day one in IOR. In some of the analytical reports, it was presented as a shake-up in the management structure. I think that the roles of us hasn't changed at all. The business unit responsible for large corporates was shifted to Krzysztof to consolidate, only also to reflect that we would like to have the same focus on large, mid, and small companies. And the growth areas, including the T-Mobile project, are done by all of it by Michał, together with the HR function. He will be responsible for HR function. We are still net hiring a lot of people, so there are more than 6,000 people in IOR, and they need to have the development and development of talents. And then we have the all financial functions of the bank in the VTEX area, and Kasia is responsible for risk and operations. We started the project with Roland Berger last year, looking at all of our costs. We cut the management layer at the headquarters from 77 to 28, and we also streamlined our operations at the board level. We are really, really happy that Niels will be with us at least till the end of this year, managing not only investor relationship, but giving us the guidance on the management of the bank. This is who we are. And now the operational performance is your
interest. Thank you very much, Maciej. Look at page number 9, net interest margin. As Maciej mentioned, we're down at 4.5. mainly driven by price promotion, giving higher competence to the sales network, and a much tighter competence has been taken into place. We do see, of course, also a balance between marketing and price promotion, and we have been out with relatively modest marketing in the first quarter, and finding a good balance here is, of course, what is necessary to keep up the volume growth. We do believe that we have a relatively easy task to get back to the 4.7, because we know exactly what has led to this reduction. At the same time, we see an improvement in the margin on the deposit side. We see a larger proportion if you look at page number 10.
Oh, I'm sorry, just 30 seconds for the technical, but you have the printouts.
Should I wait?
No, go on. Okay, everybody has a printout, so.
Page number 10, you see in the table upper right, retail loan to deposit 74%. You see retail 6.6 billion starting of current account deposits. We have a very strong growth in the number of customers that are choosing Alio to be their main bank, getting the salary paid in, and this is helping us, and one, to grow the total deposit base in line with our loan growth. Second, also to get to a more balanced cost of funding. On the growth of loans, if you look at the table at the bars on the left, you see that working capital now is 5.4 billion. We have seen a very strong growth in the short-term loans, where we have a very strong quality of monitoring of cash flows. So this is meaning we're getting more in becoming a house bank of a number of mid and small-sized customers. And we're very pleased with that. As Voice mentioned, we have seen a very strong concentration of corporates, large corporates, last year, because we started only with large corporates in February 2012. And we are scaling a little bit back with that concentration risk, focusing more on mid-cap. On fee income, page 11, nothing revolutionary to report, steady growth in almost all aspects of the bank. We have seen, of course, the lower range of interchange fees having its toll, but in spite of that, we're still seeing a growth in total settlement income, and we are pleased with that. Else, it's following the volume growth on the lending side. It's following the new trend with the low interest rate environment, where more customers are doing different types of investments, and we see a growth also in brokerage fees. Page number 12, we have, I guess, one big surprise here, at least jump, 8.4% NPL in corporate. We have a single large corporate, 150 million zloty. So here we are, page number 12 on the screen. 8.4% NPL in corporate and a significant reduction in coverage. This is coming from a single loan of 150 million zloty, a production company. We've made 15 million zloty loan loss provisions, which we believe is sufficient for this customer. And we might, at the end, have it back to normal. There's a discussion between the banks that are financing this company to put it back to its feet. But this is, for us, a one-off element. Also, considering the size of our total portfolio, we see that a large corporate that goes into NPL definition actually means quite significant jump in NPL. On the retail side, we have 10.2 for normal retail loans, 2.3 NPL for mortgage. There's a growth of roughly 0.2 percentage points in the first quarter, coming from a model change where we have a longer cure period. There's no change in the quality of the underlying portfolio. The other growth which we're seeing in retail is mainly coming from the fact that we have now 675 million zloty of POS consumer finance loans, which are out with a little bit worse quality than most other loans, because that's where we get to the customers doing the cross-selling afterwards. That has had its impact there. As we mentioned earlier, also we have a strong focus on selling loans via intermediaries. Although that means a certain worsening of the portfolio, we are not nervous about this. And as you see, we have 61% coverage ratio, which is for us more than sufficient considering the quality of our collection, which we have shown in earlier times. We are collecting even more than 57% post default, so we feel we are quite well provisioned here. Total cost of risk, 2.2%. As mentioned, this is with the existing portfolio structure, we believe we'll handle that. If we see further good growth opportunities on the higher risk consumer finance, on the higher risk intermediary, with a very strong risk reward consideration, we see no problem seeing even an increase in that, but it's not something we can predict at this very stage. Page 13. Total capital adequacy of 13.5%, 11.9 core tier 1 capital, enough to manage our strategic growth target up to 4% market share by end of 2016. And we are on a good track, page number 14, on a good track to capture our 4% market share. We have managed to grow roughly 0.5 percentage point market share annually over the last 5 years, and we are not slowing down. As you see in the table at the lower bottom right, retail, annual growing 3.3, 2.42, 2.1, 1.5, 1.9% month by month. Over the last 6 months, we have grown 14%, where the market has grown just 1.4%. The same on corporate, we have grown 13%, the whole market has just grown 1.4%. Alior still has a very strong capacity to capture market share from the other one due to the fact that we have set up a very strong distribution channel composition. And if you look at page number 15, you will see we are not slowing down in our growth. 116,000 new customers in the first quarter, versus 102 in the first quarter of 2013. We are the leader in current account growth in Poland, and we see a very good growth from all our distribution channels. The mini branches, Alio Express, 94,000 customers already acquired in those 200 small mini branches. Consumer finance, as you remember, we only started in really end of last, the beginning of last year, and we now have 369,000 of these point-of-sale customers already booked in annual. The capacity to grow further, we have built over the last 2 years to a very high degree. We have the fourth largest physical distribution network, 854 Alior-branded locations out there. As Wojciech mentioned, we have a doubling of that since 2 days ago. With all the T-Mobile locations, where almost 200,000 customers come every month to renew their contracts. But Michał will tell you more about that. So we feel quite comfortable with our growth target of growing more than 400 million zloty loans per month, because we have built a very strong distribution network.
We are very proud, happy to announce that our cooperation with T-Mobile has started. So the sales is over. We have the first 2,000 customers, approximately 100 customers per hour from this new channel. And it's only the beginning, because still, of course, the sales staff in T-Mobile should roll out to sell more. What is very important is that this sales is backed with the strongest ATL campaign in T-Mobile this year. It's not only that it's based on the most known football celebrity in Poland, but it's also packed with the huge marketing budget. We are this week we are ready to sell our current account with instant overdraft more than 800 outlets, which means that we have access to more than 2 million contracts, which is signed in the branches every year in T-Mobile. but also the website website usage of T-Mobile sites and affinity sites, which is our T-Mobile banking services, is very high. For the last 2 days, we have 170,000 unique visitors on T-Mobile banking services sites. So that I think that briefly gives you an idea how big this project in terms of acquisition. But not only acquisition, and even not acquisition is our target. Our target is to offer this consumer finance project, the product for this customer. That's why from the beginning we have the instant credit card overdraft, which is offered all together with this current account in the T-Mobile outlet at the same time. So it's not that we are selling only current accounts and that's all for the first day of this customer, but most of the customers will be equipped with this overdraft from the first day. So in one agreement, we are selling this both product. But of course, it's not only overdraft, but also cash loans, which has got the best margin. So we have plenty of cross-selling actions behind in outlets as well as on contact center level. In following months, we'd like to acquire 250,000 customers. We cannot say in how many months because T-Mobile do not want to exceed the expectations of the market. However, we can say that in 18 months of SIM, we acquired 250,000 customers, and we are expecting to acquire this customer much faster in T-Mobile. Next slide, 19. Why we believe this cooperation is so unique? First of all, and I think we can receive this information from many people on the market, most of corporations are not so successful. Because meaning there are two parties means that one party is more involved and the second party is not so interested in this topic. In this context, we are in completely different environment. T-Mobile is deeply interested on the board level and B-1, B-2, it sells people in success of this project. We have, which is very unique in cooperation between telcos and banks, we had every week we had the board level meeting between T-Mobile and Alio Bank, and we still have such a meeting. But also the dozens of other meetings on the B-1, B-2 level means that there is a deep involvement on both sides. I should say that it's not only a partnership, it's a true telco bank, because T-Mobile is not only providing us the customer base, but they're really interested in marketing, how to market this new idea, how to acquire many customers with the high profitability, because we are not paying only for the customers, we only cover the cost of acquisition, but we are, and it costs very little in terms of banking services. The great value for T-Mobile is this profit sharing idea. So that's why the T-Mobile is really strongly involved in it. And we are proud to be only white label provider. That's why many people ask, well, why we are happy being only provider. Yeah, we are happy because if you check the many telco banks agreements in Poland and abroad, it was real partnership. But it means that the telco wasn't really interested in this project. And it was stopped on the very low level in management. Here we have the T-Mobile bank, that idea. This slide number 20, presenting our target. It's nothing new, so I think I cannot speak more about that. We of course want to acquire 2 million customers in 5 years, and we are very comfortable with this target. Of course, we are not doing that for acquiring the customers. We are doing that for money, as always. So this high ROE is our target, and we have always this goal as a main every day in this corporation. Thanks. One additional slide. We of course. customer finance started 18 months ago. Now we are on the level of acquiring the great customer base. We are on the pace of providing the cross-selling ratios which are planned in our business case. We have now a 20% growth rate in cross-selling high margin cash loans this year. So we are on the safe pace to provide the net income which was planned in this business case in this project. So it's still not only T-Mobile Bank, but also customer finance is still on our agenda. We have a separate unit for this one, this project, and the T-Mobile one. So still, we'd like to not only to maintain our daily business on the highest level as possible, but also to provide you the strategic initiatives which will exceed the results of our interviews.
Now on page 23, if I try to summarize the outlook for 2014, growth, loan volume of net production of 400 million monthly. I think here on, in this line there's no risk. Our fight and challenge is to have a good composition. The one that is, as I mentioned earlier, is focused on consumer lending and working capital financing rather for small and mid-sized companies than the large companies. Large obviously will be part, important part of our portfolio, but we will look carefully at the profitability of the entire relationship with the clients. So, which is very much linked with the second item here, net interest margin. Net interest margin, we believe that because of the price concentration or price control concentration in Alior and the end of war for the intermediaries in cash lending, we believe that similarly to what we've experienced in 2013, we'll come back to the 4.7 margin level as the fourth quarter with our targets of 4.6 for the next two quarters. This is a challenge for us, probably the biggest, but we already have taken, we already have taken the necessary steps. Then costs here, this is probably the line that we are most comfortable with. It's painful, obviously, but not taking the whole action to cut costs, which we started in 2013, would be a mistake. So you can say the IDR delivered the results because of the cost. Yes, indeed, we will be cutting costs to manage your expectations at the end of the year. And the good news here is that we will not be waiting for 2015, but majority of the benefits of the cost-cutting exercise will be visible this year. So we will be below 50% this year rather than next. Risk here is something on the opposite side. If our expansion in consumer finance area and our expansion in cash lending would require to relax the cost of risk from 2.2 to let's say 2.3%. But at the same time, looking at the risk reward, we will be able to build the net interest margin on appropriate level, thus leading to the overall profitability of the bank and ROE on a desired and expected level, then we'll do that. So it's not that I'm announcing now the relaxation of credit policy, but we looking at the cash loan business and our ability to control the risk on this side, we found that going into the some segment of the customers with our collection capabilities leads directly into the improvement of the bottom line profitability for the bank. Just as an example, we do have the physical collection now throughout Poland, and we increased our collection capabilities in Krakow by more than 50% last year. And that caused us for the biggest opportunity to attack even further the cash lending business that is the main driver of our profitability. So that's it, I think. And then we open for questions.
Okay, so first we will take the questions from the attendees present in the room. When we to ask the question, you can be requested to give your hand. Okay, we have one question.
Good morning, Marta Rzeszko, Wood & Company. One question considering your Core Tier 1 ratio. It was at 11.9 pro forma, including 2013 net results. But was it already under Basel III, or is it still previous regulation? Just for clarification, please. Thank you.
If you're asking about our standard, we do stick to it, standard. G1, this according to Basel III recommendation. Yeah.
And what would be the level under the old regulation? Because this ratio seems to be the pro forma, life for life basis.
It will stay at the same level because we haven't adjusted, and there's no any differences between the calculation between those two approaches.
The main reason for that is we're still using standard approach. We're not using IRB advanced.
Okay, do we have any further questions?
Dariusz Górski, a little bit returning to the past issues of bank assurance, the past ghosts, because your interest income on loans is jumping. We heard a lot about the reasons, price competition and so on. I wonder whether the recognition of the past bank insurance fees also had an impact. And if so, could you give us a number for the full year? We know how much of the past bank insurance fees will be recognized this year, but I'm not sure whether there will be evenly split throughout the quarters. Maybe this is the reason. Because to me, this marginal loss was a bit jumpy, and I wonder if this is just a competition issue or pricing issue.
Retainer revenues from the insurance is spread over not linearly, but according to effective interest rate. So it may have an impact, but let's say what is important, and it will have impact on the new sale rather than from the previous years.
On top of that, in the fourth quarter, there was a special effect of roughly 10 million zloty, which was moved from third quarter. There is no special effect in the first quarter of this year.
If I can add to that, the in this short-term effect that we've noticed in the first quarter of this year, where the people at the branches, they were, because of the general negative sentiment towards bank assurance, we've seen the sale of the bank the product, the bank assurance product, going down at the branches. We reacted even reacted, I think, in February to that by centralizing the control over the branch activities. Simply, our advisors were reluctant to offer the product because there was something wrong about bank assurance, and this was the short-term effect. Now, the coverage of the insurance product in our branches are back to 2013 level.
Any following questions, please? Securities. I would like to still dig in a bit into this net interest income and interest margin and quarter. Somehow, even if we exclude the 10 million from the last quarter interest income, the interest income this quarter was even lower in the stable interest rate environment. Given the balance sheet growth, I'm struggling to understand this competition pressure. This promotion campaign should be enormous to lower the interest income in such scale. And I do understand that you expect this margin to improve in coming quarters, but is it doable in just one quarter, or we will have to wait for it several quarters just to, for all of those loans granted in first Q to be cleaned up into the amortized?
It will take some time because when we have granted a loan with a low margin, we have to live with that. And it is a question of adding new loans with a higher margin. The impact is significant. That is very clear. And we have taken action to make sure that new loans will not have this low margin level. They're still profitable, so it's not that we have granted loans that are not profitable marginally. But our internal expectation is to have even more profitability, especially on the retail loans.
Mm-hmm. To add to that, there are two components. One that would lead into the there are two components. One component is linked with our consumer finance. Consumer finance is longer, because we tend not to give the loans that are below 0% profitability, but they are marginally profitable, the first loan. Then we are working on a cross-selling to these clients. It takes some time, and we believe that this portfolio can be profitable by the end of this year. However, the other aspect was linked with the price leakages as the distribution network. And I think here we reacted immediately, and now the branch directors, they do not have any competences in not only on the risk side but also on the pricing side. And I believe that this could lead into the improvement of our net interest margin definitely in the third quarter, hopefully in the second quarter.
Okay, and on this leakages and branches, well, does it have only effect on net interest margin, or there is a risk that it may have negatively also cost of risk in coming quarters?
No, the cost of risk at the branch level, the branch directors, they do not have any influence on the risk. They haven't had in the past. They are not making the credit decisions. We are making the credit decisions. So there's absolutely no threat of deterioration other than our conscious decision at the headquarters. At the beginning of this year, we moved the bonus system from the people at the branches from something that was in idea from the very beginning, which was the system based on net profitability from the branch. We gave them in the first quarter the typical sales targets by volumes or by number of pieces of sales acts. And in some markets, it cuts us. If you looked at our income from the investment products, it jumps because the people go to the sales targets to go for the clients and offer them investment products. So brokerage is up, the investment products are up. The negative of that was that without the strict price control, they sometimes overuse the price competences of branch managers to meet their volume targets. And this was already taken care of. Simply, earlier at this stage, we had to do it at some point because to give the freedom for the old branch managers to be entrepreneurial in their local area, which was the modus of operandi of earlier at the very beginning, was good when we have 300,000-400,000 clients. And now we are fighting for the same quality and one face to the client kind of approach. We couldn't afford it. The people in Lublin had a completely different offers and promotions than those in Kielce. So we centralized those, and this was the cycle, and this was the effect.
I'd like to touch on the fee business a little bit. I mean, net fees are growing at a very impressive rate, but if you look separately at revenues and costs, you see that on fee revenues or fee income, the growth is slowing, and there was a couple of lines where from quarter to quarter there was actually a contraction. And one of the reasons why net fees were so strong was that you were able to cut your fee cost. So the question is, what outlook is for some lines of your fee income, particularly bank fees? Other banking fees were weakish to me. Insurance will probably discuss. And also, do you have more room for the cut of fee costs?
Let me start with the last, and then we will continue. The fee costs, and when we, in our overall cost reduction effort, there are three components, or four components. One is the HR cost, that is 50% of our base. And here, our general philosophy is to cut the costs that are at headquarters, cut the cost of the people that are not facing the client, and leave aside the client-facing stuff. Then we have the cost of real estate. Here, every single branch in Alior now is being, we're coming out of the five-year lease period that was typical, and we are renegotiating the contract, sometimes moving into other locations. Then the third component is the fee that we are paying to our outsourcers. And here, every single contract is being outsourced based on scale, based on new processes, with every single provider of the services that we use. And the fourth component is the reduction of the fee costs, for instance, with the cash handling, with the ATM machine, and so on. And I think this is the most difficult to negotiate. Because we need to be very careful not to reduce the level of quality of service to the client. So for instance, if I want to reduce this cost, we immediately can say, okay, as most of the Polish banks did, no more ATMs for free worldwide. Then you see the instant improvement of at least 3 or 5 million. But then I think we're cutting back the quality of service and the offers to the client that we want to keep. So not to count on magic that in one side, what Niels has mentioned, we are growing with the current account deposits substantially to 6.6 billion already. And reducing the cost, I would be very careful in the potential reduction of the fee cost.
As far as revenue side of this is explained by the seasonality, because if you compare, let's say, first quarter with the last quarter of this year, we have a less business, for instance, for our debt issuance department. They concluded a few transactions and generated profit, which is shown in the other fee, and also number of granted limits to the customer when we charge the customer fee for that is higher in the last quarter of the previous year than the first one. The underlying, other banking activities, settlements, insurance sales, is slightly below first quarter. But as I mentioned, this first week is not comparable with the harvest quarter, which is last quarter of the year.
And just to add to that, there are two lines here: commissions paid to agents. I think here this is very much linked with our distribution and model, and looking carefully at the risk profile of in this channel, I think we will stay in this channel. So the level of commission paid to the agents will stay, and here I would see limited potential for further cuttings. And one of the examples of the potential deterioration of the quality of service to the clients is not only the ATM network that is mentioned here in commission for ATM sharing, but also the assistance services. So we are looking at the assistance services that are currently granted to the client, and if they if the clients are happy with this additional assistance that are added to our current accounts to boost once again the transfer of the salary, we will keep this offer to the clients. If they are not happy, or if we are able to renegotiate the contract with the providers, then we will try obviously to cut this, this cost.
Any further questions, please?
On the fee cost, if I remember correctly, not a single line was cut in the first quarter in 2014. We haven't been able to renegotiate on ATMs, on agents, and the cash handling and assistance fees.
Okay, can we follow to the remote audience then, please? Okay, operator, please open the line for the remote audience for the Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. We have one question coming from the line of Marcin Gierasinski. Please ask your question. He just disconnected, so we go to the next question, which comes from the line of David Nangle. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi all, it's David Nangle from RenCap. Just checking you can hear me, yeah?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. Yeah, my question is on the asset quality side, on the corporate loan. Can you just give me a bit more detail? I think I missed it. You said you had one corporate loan in the production sector that caused the NPLs to rise significantly in Q1. Can you explain that to me, just a bit more detail on, you know, why the loan went bad? Is it bad forever? Can it get written back? And the provisioning obviously wasn't increased by 150 million zlotys in Q1 for corporate loans. So, you know, what provisioning did you have on this loan before? What have you done in this quarter? And what we are to expect? Because I just want to get my head around the nature of this one-off. Is it just it falls into NPL and then it falls back out? Or is it fully provisioned? Is there more to go? That kind of color would be good, please.
Hi, David.
Hey.
This single production company had a loan of 150 million zloty from us.
Yep.
As I mentioned, we have done 15 million zloty of provisioning. The reason why we have put it into NPL is that they ran into liquidity challenges and asked for a refinancing from a number of banks which they are funded by. All these banks have been working together for the last 1.5 months trying to find a solution. I cannot yet reveal the result, but we are confident that this will be a positive outcome, and we do believe that before year end, we have this company back in normal, meaning going out of NPL, and hopefully also with a reduction of the accompanying $15 million provision.
Okay, so at this stage, what you're saying is you expect a positive conclusion into NPL category, then back out. You've currently only provisioned 10% of the loan, 15 million zlotys, or you've only provisioned 15 million zlotys this quarter?
It's only 15 in total, and it's all done in first quarter. This company has been operating in normal classification until the end of last year, and there's been no loan loss provisions on it. We do have, of course, an extensive array of collaterals on this single case, and we do not believe that we need further provisioning. The number of banks which are financing this company are positive towards a refinance.
Okay, excellent. Just broader on the same topic, given the macro backdrop, I guess it's you always get problems in your loan book, every bank does, but it's surprising to see any problems in the broader corporate space. Is there anything else you're worried about right now in your corporate book, either specifically or from a sector point of view, or any sectors you are pushing into or shying away from?
We have handled our sector problems almost a year and a half ago when we saw the significant worsening of the real construction sector. Else, there are no sectors where we see specific problems. We do have a number of exposures which we are watching very carefully, and there might come things up also connected with the AQR. We're not sure exactly how the regulator will have their stance towards the whole banking sector. We do not see an annual that we have anything specific which the regulator would point fingers at.
Okay. And final question, just on consumer finance, unsecured consumer finance. It seems to be heating up in Poland from arguably a very low base, and everybody seems to be getting involved. How concerned are you guys at the early trends, just in terms of the competitor effect, the credit push effect? At what point do you start to get concerned about this? Because obviously it's a key area of growth for you guys.
I think that consumer finance, the area of the biggest concern in the consumer finance is that with the speed of growth of the economy and the retail spending, the large retailers would force banks into the unproductive and uneconomical conditions for the consumer loan growth at the point of sale.
Yeah.
We've seen that in 2006, 2007, even earlier, where the large retail chains in Poland demanded the banks to extend the so-called 0% APR promotion to the clients for some specific period of time. Basically, it drove the business into the model where the prime loan is highly negative in terms of profitability for the bank and return on equity, and then only the cross-sell makes this business very profitable, because then we know what is the propensity of the client to lend and to borrow, and what is the credit worthiness of the client himself. But nowadays we've noticed two things. First of all, there is no pressure from the retailers on the bank to reduce their risk appetite. In 2005, 2006, if I remember correctly, it was one of the first nights that the large retailers discussed with the bank was what is the approval ratio.
Yeah.
And now I think it's gone. I haven't seen too many of this questions lying around. However, what is appearing is the pressure on the banks to lower their margins. And here our very tough stance is that we will not go into the negative equity businesses. And if the business is unprofitable for us, we will basically don't be involved. We will not subsidize dramatically the business. So we are looking retailer by retailer. What is the overall profitability, including the cross-sell rate for this client? If at a specific point of time we notice that there is no profitability in the overall relationship, we are withdrawing from cooperation. So long story short, there is a pressure.
Yeah.
There is a pressure on from the retailer. But especially on the margins, but we will try to not to get into price war competition where it's unnecessary.
Okay, that's very clear. And then maybe I'll just ask one final question while I have you guys. Just in terms of share placements, because there have been a number of them, I guess I'm working on, the market's working on the assumption that we won't see any more share placements before maybe December. 2014, either from management or Carlos Sara, etc. Is that a fair assumption to make?
I believe it's a very fair assumption. Carlos Sara is sitting with 28.05. 1.9% of that belongs to the management. We'll get that later by end of June. And they have 26.15%. They have given a strong commitment to the regulator to keep at least 25% as a reference stake. Theoretically, they could go to the market with 1.15%, but I doubt this is something that will happen. In terms of management, there is a further lockup ending 15th of December this year. I cannot promise or commit or threaten, whatever is the word for it, that there will be a state coming out. This I don't know. People have different individual economic situations.
Yeah.
On top of that, you have to remember that we have an option scheme which part of these options have been granted for 2013. And some will come now to 2014 and further in 2015. So there's still a strong commitment from a very large number of top managers in the organization to continue delivering not just a price increase to existing shares they might hold, but also to make the value of the option schemes significantly higher.
If we can add to that, contrary to the management sales that we've seen in the past, this was a Manco company that over 100 people in Alior were participants. Currently, what is left is only basically six or seven of us, and the vast majority is at this table, because it's only practically the management. So I'm asking that even individual people, what is their intention to sell or not to sell, it's easier now to expect what it would be the package coming back, coming to the market in the first window. So first of all, the first window is December 14th. It's up to you to judge, is it possible to go between the December 14th and the Christmas? If not, then start the lockup period. This basically finishes at the end of first quarter, the blackout period, for the first quarter result, for the full year results, which is basically the end of the first quarter 2015. And I've already made it, I think, public, and I would like to stress it again that I don't have myself any intention to sell.
Cool. Very clear, guys. Thank you very much.
We have another question coming through from the line of Andrei Novacek. Please ask your question.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask you to comment on press reports saying that you're looking at one of the SCOCs.
So, I think there were some press speculations about the SCOCs and your involvement, and thank you very much for asking this question, because I would like to clarify this very as much as I can. There is an issue on the Polish banking sector. The issue is sizable. It's 400 million zlotys size of this issue. I think there are some complete misunderstanding, to put it mildly. There is no single bank in Poland that is able to cope with covering of this of the big hole. So what it means that there is no solution that would fit the in my opinion, that would deal with the entire stock sector. And I think that the recovery of the issue and basically how to resolve this issue will be based on four components. One, some stocks will be forced into liquidation. Some of them will be, especially the smaller ones, will be taken over, I hope, by other stocks or by banks. And I need to stress, these are the only recoverable stocks on the smaller side. Then it will be a need for, I guess, for coordinated action from the banks. Call it a big bad bank, call it something similar to what we've seen on the Polish market in terms of Sony Bank, Sukrogitwa, six bank cooperating to recover. I think it's also feasible. But it will not be enough. And I think the fourth component is the increase of the potential threat of the increase of the BFG BFG needs to cover the potential losses of the deposits of the SCOC client. And this would take the form of increased participation fees for BFG. So I guess it will be a solution that would be not one size fits all, but the solution would consist of the four different components. And currently, I can say there's a big discussion among banks and kind of bank and PFC bank and the other bank of work. So all the three forums, either obviously is involved in this discussion, but there is nothing extraordinary with all your involvement in this discussion. There's nothing, no decisions, no intention to, as it was presented, that all your is the savior of the SCOC system, because it's not feasible at all. So I think that this covers our position versus SCOC. It's much, much bigger issue than the all your is.
Okay, thank you so much.
We have no further questions on the phone lines. Please continue.
Okay, so thank you very much, then. If there are no further questions, then thank you for attending the management presentation and management conference call. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.